You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
Okay, welcome back to the Cooligans. Last week on Tuesday when we were live, Alexis couldn't make the show. He couldn't make it. And this time, today, he also can't make it. Alexis is actually not going to be here this week, but he will be back, I promise. So we have a special guest co-host again. Alexis is a gooner, so we had to replace him with another gooner. Everybody, big round of applause. Give it up for Christine Kupo, everybody. Yep. Okay.
Happy to join you.
Thank
you. I'm the good substitute, Alexis. It's fine.
You brought the ball. You brought all the soccer equipment we need to get going.
I mean, if we're ready, I guess.
Go. There it is. What's good, everybody? Welcome. Some people are already in the chat and they're saying, what are they saying? What's up, everyone? Hope everyone had a good weekend. Everybody had a good weekend besides Manchester United fans, okay? So we will, a lot to discuss today because the Premier League was pretty wild. I thought the peak of it was going to be that Reece Nelson goal.
That Reece Nelson goal that actually registered now officially as a mini earthquake.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how we ride.
It registered as an earthquake that, you know, so badly that San Jose earthquakes got upset. They said it was copyright infringement. Why are you taking our thing?
but good day for gooners.
So, yes, we will talk about Manchester United. We will discuss the Arsenal result. Obviously, they're still top of the league. And obviously, since we have Christine Kupo of CBS Sports, we will be talking some Serie A as well. Okay.
The best league in the world.
Okay. And I went, my honeymoon was in Italy. So I feel well informed.
Uno de noi. Yeah. Okay. You're one of us, Christian.
That's it. So it's exciting. Christine, thank you so much for joining me. You don't have to hold on to the ball the entire time.
It might
time.
Be like my emotional support.
This and interesting story about the ball that you are holding.
It's Kaya.
It's a Kaya ball. Nick Raimondo.
Nick Raimondo. I actually have a Kaya t-shirt.
Okay. Me too. He gave me one as well. Nick Raimondo gave me that ball in Minnesota. At MLS All-Star. Very kind goalkeeper, legendary goalkeeper. So,
you know, like, oh, yes, my close friend.
It's Nick. Just the homie Nick Raimondo. It's very strange. Whenever you go to, like, I always tell people, especially within MLS, even though this is not the MLS show, that but go to any MLS, like, All-Star game, at least once in your life. You just meet legends that you were playing with in FIFA when you were 12. Dude, it's crazy.
It's chill though. It is. I've just grown to accept that, like, all of my friends are infinitely cooler than I am.
Okay.
And so it's normal. Although I'm also building out my low-key, like, former pro roster, so that way I can potentially raise a trophy again in Sunday.
Oh,
league.
Sure, sure.
I have an agenda, okay?
Okay, just signing up, Mike McGee. I love it. So what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco. I am joined by my guest co-host,
Christine Kupo.
There it is. Okay. See, you're already sharper than Alexis is when it comes to introductions. So we're excited to be here. We're obviously live on YouTube as well. If you listen to this podcast, we're live on Mondays and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So everybody in the chat, if there's anything that you would like us to discuss outside of this humiliating result of Manchester United, please put it in the chat. Or if you have any questions for Christine, feel free to do so as well. I don't know. I'm trying to wonder why the dock here in is just not disappearing in on the Mac. This has never happened before. I don't want to.
Sorcery.
I don't want to do too much IT support while I'm literally doing the
that's
show.
That's not part of the show. I thought that's like your magic trick.
Del Boy just said Alexis just had a glow up. Okay. All right. Good. I mean, it's long overdue. I think a lot of people have been complaining about it.
I was going to wear my finest sweatsuit, but, you know, I just didn't think I could pull it off like Alexis can.
Okay, yeah, not many can. All right, let's just get into it, because everybody, I think, who is I think consuming any football content today is either suffering and needing some sort of support, or they are like, I want to watch them suffer more. You know what I mean? Like, because that's what I've been doing. I'm not a Manchester United fan. And watching this result, and which is obviously the worst result that Manchester United have ever had in Premier League history, you're trying to sort of make sense of it. So you look to like the professional, the pundits who know everything. I want to see Gary Neville. And I want to see what, like, you know, answer for them. You weren't on the pitch, but make sense of what just happened. How have you tried to make sense of this result?
I am relishing this absolute just meltdown of the fan base, despite the fact that I hold way too many, I thought about it this morning, way too many United fans near and dear.
Okay.
But I still am laughing at their pain right now.
You gotta.
It's a good time. Listen, I have suffered, okay? Like, Arsenal, we have developed probably a number of pain kinks and also an array of coping mechanisms, but mostly we just make really funny jokes.
Got
like,
it.
Those were our character building years. So now I can
yeah, you're basically saying this is how Manchester United starts their, like, kink arc, you know? Yeah. This is how they get
Listen, you're going to lean into it. Eventually, you're going to be like, hurt me, please.
Sign me up. What? Is there the dominatrix?
Ten Hag is going to be like, what is happening in this dressing room?
Is there a dominatrix in the area? People are building red rooms in their homes.
Kick me in the shin. but yeah, so I think that absolutely, like, top-notch memeing yesterday.
Right. Yeah,
I adore that. I adore when it's not my fan base that has to suffer for the sake of humor.
Sure. I mean, look, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but Alexis
had Mo Salah, and everybody's like, this man is actually just a model who occasionally plays soccer, just running around abs out, which, respect, like, I'm trying to get like that by May.
I mean, look, this is there's a other conversation I want to have that I'll bring up in a moment, but I have on screen Mo Salah on the cover of Madden, obviously, because they put up seven. Like, you're happy they made the field goal. You know, it's six. 6-0 is not the same as 7-0.
But like, that many goals conceded in a single half.
I know, right?
Is like, and I know Roy Keane called it a circus, and he's bang on about it being a circus, mm-hmm. because absolute clown shoes performance. I don't know how you actually have that happen. Even playing it back and watching the clips, you're like, wow, how did you? This is like, you had to strive for that. Like, maybe we should check them for like match fixing, because it's almost too wild.
It was if on a practical level, when you're trying to make sense of like how they played, how they lined up from a tactical, like after probably the second goal, maybe the third goal, it's all out the window, right? And like, what's hilarious especially is after they gave up the goal at the end of the first half, Gakpo scores.
And they were still like laughing about it. It was a ha-ha, jokey-jokey.
Bruno had a great chance. They definitely, some people were saying like, you know, United were the better in the first half. And like, it sounds even more ridiculous. It doesn't even matter what happened in the first half after the result that you have or whatever. But what was the point I was going to make? It was like, they keep using the word like capitulation and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not even a game of football anymore, right? It is really just like, can you psychologically finish the workday? Can you just make it to 5 p.m.?
The answer for United was absolutely not. They crawled under their desk at 3 p.m. and said, I'm going to take a little George Costanza nap. Like, we can't do this anymore.
And so this is what I was remembering. At the end of the first half, on the NBC sports broadcast, they had, I think it was Rebecca Lowe that made this point about how Erik ten Hag is a tactician, and he's great at making changes for second halves. Like, that was the specific, it was like, let's cut back to the game. Erik ten Hag, he is great at second halves, and then that is the second half that they have.
Friend Eric here excels at second halves, and then all of a sudden it's like six goals.
I just feel terrible for everyone involved in that.
I would not leave my home for at least 6 years, like 1 year per goal. I would be so deeply embarrassed.
Okay.
Which, I mean, probably says more about me than like Ten Hag, because he's, you know, got to immediately go out and do press. But I would probably be quietly sobbing. Like, you just hear me whimper.
Hilarious.
On
mic. A poorly drawn Arsenal, who you're gonna be on this show in just a little bit. One of your drawings.
I adore poorly drawn Arsenal.
Poorly drawn Arsenal said, "Yeah, it was the perfect weekend, right?" So, but just surreal, and so. If there's any, I mean, some of the things that I think a lot of people are highlighting about the performance of Manchester United, obviously, Lisandro Martinez getting, just touching the earth. So Mo Salah made him touch the ground. It's going to be a meme essentially forever of him defending, looking backwards, just not even looking at Mo Salah. It's just not a great look. I feel bad for him, especially, you know, the for all the short kings, you know, he's out there. He has to look good because there's a lot of pressure on him. So that wasn't great. But the performance from Bruno Fernandes, and I'm not even talking about like touches or shots or anything. It's just literally like body language. And he was a captain yesterday, and I think he's been the person people have been highlighting, of just like, you know, the diving. He got touched on the shoulder. He's like holding his face and all this other stuff. And when you lose 7-0, you can't even act like that. You can't perform in that way.
I feel like it's hard to tell with United fans, though, because sometimes they are a little bit whiny about certain players or nitpicky. But yeah, that was a very, like, we don't talk about Bruno. Like, I don't blame them. You know, they, like, it's very, like, Marge Simpson, like, ooh.
Right, right. Do you think it's one of those, like, the game was just so bad? Like, if they lose 3-0, you're like, okay, you know, we put in a shift, but we didn't get the result we wanted. But losing this badly, is this a game that is like, all right, well, we don't even have to keep it in our memory because it was just such a aberration?
The good news is, I think it was just a blip. It was an anomaly. We're probably not going to see this again out of this United side. At least they should have the appropriate level of PTSD from that match, particularly that they'll never, ever repeat any of those errors.
Right, right.
But, I mean, real talk, as a player, it's not easy, especially when and where those goals come from, to stay in the game mentally and not be entirely demoralized. Like, yes, that's part of your job, but that's a much bigger ask than people sometimes assume. To stay locked in psychologically and not say like, oh, forget it, like it's useless, right? Especially after six goals in a single half.
The Marcus Rashford. There were a couple of tweets from players, which I was kind of surprised. I thought they would all just
away. Like, there's no way. Okay, like I envisioned them all popping up the notes app, getting ready to draft, and be like, okay, eyes on one, publicist, two, my manager, my mother is on the third line of defense. We have to make sure that everybody's had eyes on this semi-apology,
right?
It's hard, right? Like, you're a public figure, you're going to get criticized no matter what, but you're especially dealing with some really, what is there on the other hand? Yeah. What is there to be said?
Right. This is Marcus Rashford, his tweet, yesterday, he goes, "I wish we could play a game today to try and put things right. The result is the result, and we can't see past that. We must not let it define our season. We have to trust the process and stick together." And
they just won a trophy. Right. This was a wild match. Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Sure.
I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to, like, boost up my United fan friends, because why would I do that? But it's an anomaly. This isn't always, yes, I understand people are upset. Yes, yeah. It's deeply embarrassing. I probably would be walking around as Rarkus Mashford for a week, but whatever.
So I think everything is fine here about this statement. And there's really, I'm not going to like hyper criticize, and because there's nothing he could really say that everyone would be happy with. It was just such a ridiculous result. It is what it is. But the line that I thought was very strange was the first one. I wish we could play a game today to try and put things right. Bro.
Yeah, that's so not going to rectify that. Like, this is just a wash.
You need the rest and recovery. We need to take the time to accept that sometimes we need to just heal. That we need to take the time to heal.
Yes, everybody just needs a bubble bath, right. Maybe a cucumber eye mask. Just try to wash it away, some soft jazz.
You can't be like, oh, she broke up with me. I'm going to get into a serious relationship tomorrow. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Christina's like, I would never do such a thing.
I would never do such a thing. Love you, mean it.
Joe Willock just put in quotes a quote-unquote trophy.
He's got to be a United fan. He's upset. Oh, baby, it's just a trophy.
No, the Carabao Cup is the Carabao Cup. We were talking about it last week. It was, you know, some people were suggesting that they were celebrating a little too
right,
much.
But okay, so here's the thing. I get so annoyed because this always ends up being a dialogue in sports, across sports, okay? Is this notion of you shouldn't celebrate your wins and that you over-celebrated and somehow now this has shifted you psychologically so much that you don't think that you need to exert any effort whatsoever. Like, that's just not the way athletes are built. Like, yes, you might they were seen kind of joking around after the first goal from Liverpool. But again, it's a goal. It's not life-altering. Now, what came thereafter, that's a whole other story. But it's... celebrate your wins, right? I don't care if it's a big win, a small win,
an employee of the month award. Like, it's all good.
Contextually, life is short. Experience all of the joy that you can. And then come what may, right? Like, you don't know that you're going to lose your next match as horrifically as you have. But you know what? Like, tuck and roll with it. That's life.
Right. And I think, that has to be the best way to handle it. I mean, look, as an NYCFC fan, I'm familiar with 7-0 losses, okay? So, you know, I've been here before.
The hardest scoreline to defend.
I've been here before. I know what it's like. But I loved going through, there's a bunch of people that either have been on the show that we're friends with, a lot of Manchester United content creators. And I didn't have enough time to really, like, make a proper compilation, but I just wanted to get some of my favorites. This is, everybody knows, Mark Goldbridge, except Christine, when I mentioned her before, she doesn't
know. I'm so sorry to Mark. I will become familiar with you, friend. Right.
But he is a guy who yells on camera about how when Manchester United do poorly, and he's made a career of it. I think he knows it. It's all good. I mean, it provides tons and tons of entertainment. Somebody put together a compilation I'll just play a couple of these of his reactions to some of these goals.
An absolute joke. Liverpool on the break, we're in a right mess. Well done, McTominay. And then he assists fucking Salah.
So there's more where that came from, but then I wanted to play. This is one of my favorites. This is RNA Deck. Go follow him, especially on TikTok. He's great. Chat, he's a big Manchester United.
Goldbridge one is still playing.
Oh, the Goldbridge one. Oh, apologies. So the
this was the remix.
This was. So this is RNA Deck. I want to play this one. He's great on TikTok. Big Manchester United fan. But there's a comedian, Adam Rowe, based out in Liverpool, and he had tweeted this, and it just says, "This fellow's reaction to Gakpo's second goal is not my favorite thing about yesterday's game." And here's his reaction.
Oh no, Dinky Winky!
Dinky Winkies, Cody Gakpo is one of my fave sentences ever. What a great moment.
Dinky Winky. I couldn't.
It was a great goal, though. The this was the one where he sat down, Lisandro Martinez.
I think the camera placed at the back of that goal actually caught that, like, in its grand scheme of things. It should be hung in a museum.
It was great. And then, so this is the This is the other conversation I wanted to have about this game, because obviously Manchester United lose, right? 7-0, Liverpool, and you can tell, goal after goal, they were not, like, they weren't taking their foot off the gas. They wanted...
As they shouldn't.
I mean, when Firmino scored that seventh goal, I mean, it was like Champions League final, whatever. It was a big deal. So, I just want to... It's just ironic because, again, I remember during the 2019 Women's World Cup, the U.S., when they were playing against Thailand, right? And the final result ended up being like 11-0. Mm-hmm. Everyone was so... After the fourth or fifth goal, why are they celebrating? Blah, blah, blah. And, yo, Mohamed Salah took off his shirt at the sixth goal in a game that obviously was not even competitive. So it's just one of those moments. I just hope somebody is self-aware enough, the people who are tweeting this nonsense, that they're aware of their hypocrisy.
It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it.
Exactly, dog. Crazy.
To me almost like Liverpool was like angry though. When they kept scoring, you know what I mean? They were like, oh, we're having a terrible season. They wanted to really take it out on the rest of the United. Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to beat up 100%. A bit on the third place team? Come on. 100%. I mean, Liverpool have had some phenomenal seasons. This hasn't been one. Yeah. But heck yeah, like unload. Let's go.
Joe Whitlock in the chat just said Eric Sevenhag, which is great. All right. got a new name. Lousy Val, thank you for the correction. They won 13-0. So yeah, I mean, look, I hope that, because that honestly, after the fourth and fifth goal, I was about to tweet. Why are they still celebrating like this?
How dare you?
I was hoping people, you know, will start giving me that energy.
Listen, when I'm up 10-0 in Sunday League, I'm still celebrating. And that really goes to nothing other than me demoralizing perfect strangers.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but in that case, you're like celebrating against like accountants or whatever.
Listen, a win is a win.
So what Joe Willock just said, that was because he broke Fowler's scoring record for Liverpool. So what? I did it. So, I mean, I do want to give Mohamed Salah his flowers. I'm comfortable simply saying Mohamed Salah is the greatest Liverpool player to ever wear the shirt. I mean, how much more evidence do you need?
We need to get all the Liverpool supporters in the chat.
I'm an Everton fan saying that. I mean, like, the dude has been...
So you have poor taste and you're lauding Liverpool and Salah. No,
okay, this is not why I invited you to the show, Christine.
I'll go. I'm going to take your ball, though.
it's a silly... as far as with Mohamed Salah, look, I think he's incredible. And I think, you know, Alexis makes this point all the time, like... They shouldn't have brought him back. They shouldn't have paid him so much money because he's not gonna, you know, do the same. And it's like, bro, what else can he do? He's literally just scoring tons and tons of goals. He didn't have the greatest start to the season, but neither did Liverpool. But he's been remarkable.
Yeah, I have no qualms with them keeping Mo Salah on. I would find out really what player do you bring in that is a 1-to-1 or better that you think you can see grow. Right. I mean, it would probably be like the result of some phenomenal scouting because you'd probably want to catch somebody young, and I don't know who that would even be.
Right, right. I love Crimson Pizza just said, Kupo's hitting the CR7 Sue when she puts her team up 10-0.
Yeah. Maybe not that particular celebration. I usually do like the this, but you know, whatever.
Lousy Val said, we love people celebrating because we aren't the fun police. That's right. There is a...
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear this? There was a... I saw something about that the FA is looking into Arsenal celebration, the Reece Nelson goal. I guess, I don't know if too many players... went on the pitch or something like that, but it just seems comical.
They need to chill, okay? It's been a long time. We've suffered. There hasn't been much to celebrate, and we finally have it. Like, hey, let's go. We're winning the league. However,
okay.
Just so you know, I want you to put that in your calendar. But that's so silly. For what?
Yeah.
How much money does that cost? Let's start a GoFundMe.
People do think, especially Arsenal fans, that there is like an agenda because it's either VAR not giving them calls, which there was probably one in that handball that was not called that seemed pretty sus. The one that it bounced off of the post, the soccer shot, and it hit, I forgot whose arm, but look at a handball to me. I don't know.
Listen, I was there for the City match.
Oh, that's right. How was your trip there?
It was amazing, except for the part where I was among my people and the vibe was great. And I was like so close. My seats were perfect. I could like sniff the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I collected my L in person to see. So there was that. I was like, cool, 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 cool. I'm so glad I could be here for this. But no, like there were a few calls, even that match that like I got to see with my naked eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? What's going on here?
Okay.
I don't believe in like the ref conspiracies. I feel like this gets kicked up a lot too in like Serie A. But in this instance, yeah, I feel like sometimes it's a little bit anti-Arsenal leaning.
Sure. I mean, it's been that way for 20 years. Am I right, Kubo?
Forever. Why always us?
It's just, look, and we can talk about that game as well. Arsenal did play against Bournemouth. They ended up winning 3-2. They were down 2-0, which was already, a lot of people were already kind of like putting the nail in the coffin as far as winning that title. I didn't think I thought they would at least draw, right? Because that seems like it's Bournemouth. They're nearly at the bottom of the table.
Going into that match, I did not think it was going to be, one, exciting, two, a tough go.
Mm-hmm.
I full disclosure, was in yoga following along on my phone. Because I was like, there's not, you know, it's Bournemouth, no big deal. And as I'm like watching along on my phone, I'm like, oh yeah, side crow, hang on, like I got this. And you see that Bournemouth are rallying. And well, I'm like, well, I can't believe this is happening.
The first minute, right? Yeah. Did you see the goal? Okay, so this was actually pretty fascinating because Bournemouth, they did, if you haven't seen it, Philip Billing scores in the first minute. But Bournemouth, they obviously kicked the ball at kickoff. And they line up like an NFL formation. Do you see that? They lined up trips left, right? They look like it's gonna be a pass play, mm-hmm. but it might be a run to the weak side.
Blue 42. Got it.
but all the players are on the left, and all the midfielders and forwards are on the left, and there's one player on the right, and then I think the ball gets to don't even know what direction they kicked the ball in, but they scored in 8 seconds, something under 9 seconds.
Yeah.
And so as soon as you see that, everybody's like, this is not a championship team.
If you're going to like try this to get out front and you're Bournemouth, that's the goal that you want to score.
Dude.
Before anybody's prepared to even defend, because you're kind of like, haha, it's Bournemouth.
Yeah, it was remarkable that it worked. It kind of confused the Arsenal players. The game, look, just started. I'm like, who am I supposed to be marking? This is not how I'm normally supposed to play. Remarkable goal. And then once they got the second goal in the second half, I was like, all right,
that was when I was like, this is not good.
They can't figure anything out.
We can't do this.
But then three goals right after that. I mean, they get Thomas Partey, Ben White scores, and then Reece Nelson gets that goal. And then also, Reece Nelson also had the assist. And people are also talking about Reece Nelson. This could completely just change his career. His contract.
Oh, for sure. With the limited amount of time that he's played versus the actual impact that he's had.
Right.
I would be literally putting up a billboard of myself. Okay. I'd be like, hey, you see me? I did that.
Nick Red said, Christian calling out the trips formation makes me wonder if he's covering the right type of football.
Bro, we're versatile here. Okay.
I played Madden a little bit. Okay. The reactions have been, were incredible, obviously. Reece Nelson scoring that goal. I couldn't believe it. But this was Ian Wright posted his reaction to it, and then poorly drawn Arsenal captured it beautifully. I think this is in like the green room for, I don't know, maybe a Sky or something like that. Ian Wright is watching the game. He was watching the game with Gary Lineker and two other people that I saw on screen. But Ian Wright, have you met Ian Wright?
I have not actually met
Ian
Wright.
I've met Ian
Wright.
We've
been like in passing. It's one of those things where it's somehow we end up in the same place or in the different room. And I'm like, this is eventually the stars will align.
I hope it happens because Ian Wright is truly one of the nicest, most awesome people and just genuine guy. And I've actually watched a game with Ian Wright And this man is, I mean, he might as well be 13 years old forever. I always tell this.
He's just such a bright light. I also just appreciate him for his unrelenting and genuine support of the women's game as like such a admired and intelligent.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. Yeah.
Like former player. He's also, and this is just a personal preference, I don't buy kits with names on them. I just think it's weird to wear some dude's name.
Sure.
However, I
mean, you are Alexis Guerrero's now.
However, I do have a righty shirt, like okay. A classic, and I'm like, it's an authentic OG one.
I mean,
I still wear it, although I probably should try to get him to sign it and just like hang it somewhere. Sure. But so yeah, he's of the upper tier echelon of sure. players. When I personally am like, oh.
we in Philly, we were having a drink or something. We were at like the hotel bar, and there was a guy at Ian Wright, like from 90 something, and walked up to him and got him to sign it as well. So the so this was a remarkable goal from Reese Nelson. And I do think I was going to say, like, his contract is up this summer. And this either, you know, I already heard, like, they're trying to possibly re-sign him. But maybe he has an opportunity to go play more minutes somewhere else if he's interested.
I don't want him to go, per se. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, players have to do what's best for them. But I think that what we're seeing that he's capable of, even with the scant minutes he's had, is pretty promising.
I think what, you know, the transfer window for Arsenal was a little nervy, right? Because no Mudryk.
We were banging heads a bit with Chelsea.
Right. you got Trossard, but not the moves that I think a team that is in contention to win a title. There's usually like at least one or two really big names that come through. But in general, your hopes, do you think they get it done? Do you think they can hold on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm confident.
No doubt whatsoever?
No doubt whatsoever.
Because I feel like when it was, you know, 2-0, there were a couple doubts.
Maybe there were some notes, okay? But, like, I was already in downward dog, okay? I think there's going to be little blips like that, because there will be. They're not going to have that, like, unblemished invincible season. But I do think that they will end up winning this season, which I'm fully prepared to get my butt on a plane and get back over to London immediately.
And I think the fact too that they won this game despite the fact that they were losing by so much, like, shows that, okay, this is a real team. Like, the old Arsenal would have just collapsed that 2-0.
They've done that a couple times this season, and I, you know, maybe two or three times I've mentioned that exact thing, that it, you know, it does take a lot of character, because just again, you saw Manchester United go down two goals.
One of the intangibles, though, that we're seeing from this Arsenal squad is that they very much do play for each other.
Sure.
And that is not something that you can fabricate or teach, or they genuinely, there's joy there.
Well, Super Mikel Arteta is the only one that can get them believing in each other.
I mean, listen, I will draw all of the little brain cartoons and hearts as anybody wants, anywhere, always, if that's what gets the job done.
Let's look at Kupo's Trapper Keeper and see what
little heart.
Let's see what's going on there.
I heart Gunnar Suarez.
Lousy Val just said, it's cool, referring to Mudryk. Chelsea can enjoy that. Their nine-figure bench warmer.
Well, he's already like semi miserable, right? Is like the recent reports. Which what player hasn't been miserable at Chelsea? It's a rite of passage.
I mean, we don't need reports. We just need his Instagram stories. I mean, right? We see
the man's
we see where his heart is.
We gotta leave Chelsea alone. We actually won this week.
Mike is a Chelsea fan, by the way.
It's been tough. We had a whole therapy session last Monday.
Do you want to hold the emotional support ball?
That should be the name of it, the emotional support ball. Chelsea did win, though. They beat
barely
Leeds. They did.
But you're beating Leeds. Yeah. So, like, where is the joy in that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's better than the 3-0 loss to Leeds from earlier in the season when Tuchel was the manager. But honestly, I don't know about that win. It seems like it was kind of a lateral move. Like, obviously, to get the result is positive. But in terms of how they actually played, it wasn't super impressive.
It wasn't. I mean, it was the header from Fofana, right, that got. But they didn't really have... look, I watch Leeds now, especially when they start all the Americans. I'm like, all right, this game is not about Leeds United anymore. This is about, you know, the all of
America.
American.
I've never been more American.
Okay, it's just this. You're playing for American soccer, and you need to represent us well. And I Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie and Brendan Aaronson all started. And so I don't know how you feel about this, but week in and week out, we're starting to see Tyler Adams get into scuffles every week. Now it happened against Everton with Dwight McNeil. It's happened. I'm wondering if you think I want to see goals. I want to see assists. I don't know how much I want to see, you know, like just UFC scraps every single week. I think we're hyping up the fact that he got that dog in him, but I want him to have that dog in him in the Premier League and not the Championship.
Yeah. So I think I probably differ a little bit from you in terms of like, I like me a hard man.
Okay.
I like those guys that'll go in on those 50-50 balls and be sure. Like, hey, if you die, you die. I think that he does have a little bit of that role, but it's kind of funny to me that of that US player talent pool, that Leeds ended up with, you know, Adams and McKennie and Aaronson, who like Aaronson, even for as lanky as he is, he's scrappy.
Sure.
You got like some of the prime players for that U.S. men's national team that will knuckle up in one place, which is sort of unique. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that Tyler has a maturity about him that despite the fact that maybe he might go in and get like that little, I mean, like scrappy, like, you know, let's fight whatever bravado moment, which it happens, right? I think that he is more measured and can reel it in. So he's more capable of, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think
does it need to translate as goals and otherwise? Yeah. Like if it's detracting from his actual performance, fine. But I don't have any issue with the physicality that he tends to deploy.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have an issue with the physicality
but, I mean,
specifically.
All in, if Leeds end up getting sunk this season, how poorly is that going to go for that group of American players?
Yeah,
I feel like that's like the actual detriment.
Our
like,
reputation.
I'd be more worried about that.
Is on the line.
Like, I mean, come on. Like our reputation is always on the line. Like,
yeah. Sean 613 in the chat just said, "You don't know where I'm from, dog." That's right.
You don't know where I'm from, dog.
Okay.
Christine channeling her inner Drago from Rocky. Honestly, that's how I live my life. Okay. That's kind of how I play. Anybody that's played with me knows better.
I played with Christine. Yeah. It's like we've had on Cooligans FC, we've had one woman on the team to ever be carded. It's generally a chill environment. Like nobody was just like wants to get injured and stuff like that. But the only woman who ever got carded was this girl named Lorena Rusi, who's a great player. You know, I don't know if you ever met Lorena.
I don't think I have.
But she's a comic and she's very, very good at soccer. I think she played professionally somewhere. I don't remember where. But she just kept relentlessly fouling that the ref was like, I don't know what else. I have to get you to stop somehow. You need to stop. And now she won't play on the team anymore because she's like, I'm too competitive. I get too serious. And you're like, to me, you're like on the borderline. You don't physically foul. You emotionally foul.
Yeah, I'm not.
You hurt people's
as a
feelings.
Person, I'm like, have we dated?
On the field?
I'll forward you a list of therapists.
On the field? Your feelings are not being taken into account. Okay?
No, not at all. Like I go in hard. Sometimes it is physically fouling people. Most of the time it's psychological damage, you know, whatever.
Kirby D just said, but he's not there to score though. I'm not expecting goals from Tyler Adams necessarily, but I would like the Leeds performances to be a little bit more just cohesive. I would like Brendan Aaronson to score, and I
think that's a reasonable ask.
Yeah, yeah. I just think what Leeds is doing better now, they're putting Weston McKennie in the box for set pieces. They weren't doing that in those first couple games. And Brendan, I say this every week. Brendan Aaronson is just a great on the ball. He can pass well. He just gets physically out-muscled all the time.
I said, like he's got that dog in him. He's just too lanky. We need to get him in the gym.
He does.
Like, we'll get him doing, like, maybe, like, my squat workout.
It's one of those things where, you know, like, Jamie Vardy says he doesn't lift weights, right? Because he just thinks it'll, like, slow him down. And who am I to argue with Jamie Vardy, right? Because we know what the Vardys are capable of.
I understand physiology, though. Like, as somebody that was a sprinter and I was a 400-meter runner, like, you need to have good glutes and hamstrings to go bing. You know, like muscles are rubber bands.
Right.
So I'm just saying, you know, develop those.
Okay. You know what? I'm a huge fan of rubber bands. You know what I'm saying?
I see that.
Huge fan. They're lovely. Crimson Pizza just said, is Kupo New York City Diego Costa just a lovely human off the pitch, but dangerous when that whistle goes?
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I am not the same person when I'm playing. Like, I am super kind. Mm-hmm. Not always nice, but super kind as a human being. But as a player, you want to be on my team, not playing against me.
Right, right. But also, as someone who's played on your team, if you make a mistake, you're also hearing it a little bit too, okay? You're not getting away easy.
No, you're going to hear it. You're going to get my full feedback. There's no delay.
No, you appreciate the truth. But even sometimes I tell Christine, you need to chill. You just need to chill. And you know what will help you chill? A nice Coors Light. Let's go, everybody.
Bang, bang. I was waiting. How is Christian going to get to the Coors Light region?
You don't have to be on all the time yelling at, you know, opposing players or your own teammates, because a nice chill Coors Light will get you, get you prepared for a game, you know?
I expect a case then at the next Cooligans FC.
Okay, Meadowlark, get on that, okay? So, yeah, and you know what the best part of a Coors Light is, Christine Kupo, is that when the beer is cold enough, the blue mountains show up right on the bottle.
Have aesthetic. Okay, I'm in. Hydrating will probably make me less of a hothead. I'm in. Maybe, possibly. We can test it out.
Okay, we can test it out. Yeah, we're not making any claims. We're not saying that if you drink Coors Light, you will be less angry than Christine Kupo. We cannot make such a claim.
I'm a New Yorker.
But we can only trial and error to figure it out. So mark your calendar for some quality time with Coors Light, the beer that is made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
4th of July savings are happening now at the Home Depot. So get ready to go big with backyard barbecues for all your friends and family. Level up with the Next Grill 4-Burner Propane Gas Grill, now $199 from the Home Depot. Its extra large cooking surface is perfect for supersized entertaining. Take your grilling to the next level with 4th of July savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Let's go. Okay, the Crimson Pizza just said, the national drink of Blangola. I don't know. This is, it's been happening the last couple of weeks. I hate always giving backstories to other jokes, but it's become a hit in the show, because Alexis, he asked me, one day, what country would I love to be the president of?
Yes.
And I just said randomly Angola.
Angola.
And then we were having a whole back and forth.
Oh, it's
going
to be the B thing.
Yep. And then he's like, I'm going to be the president of Blangola. And then we had a couple fans make Blangolan flags. So we... We have it.
So am I part of the People's Republic of Blangola now?
Okay.
Secretary of the Army.
General Kupo.
That makes sense. I mean, I now have a couple teams that I just started playing with that actually just from day one called me captain and coach. So right. I am the field general. Let's go.
It is a fitting role.
My course.
Board Martin just said, what a transition. Well done. Thank you. Okay. We take a lot of time planning those course light transitions, and it worked out well. So, a couple other things to go over, and like I said, if there's any questions in the chat, please put them, and if you have any questions for Christine, put them there as well. Let's talk about obviously, because we have a Serie A expert. let's talk some Serie A as well, because I've been I don't watch too many Serie A games, but I'll try to watch at least one a week. I get in there, and then if any of them are in like Europa League,
of course, Champions League,
I'll tune in.
Europa League, who?
But let's start with what? First of all, Napoli has just. I mean, they got that. Are they mathematically? Have they mathematically won? No, they haven't yet.
Not yet.
There's but that should be happening soon.
Yeah, leaps and bounds, right? They're up 15 points right now.
But Napoli have been absolutely remarkable, and I would say one of the better teams even in Europe, not just in Italy.
Absolutely. I tweeted back in October that they're winning Champions League. So okay. We'll see if my high gamble risk reward.
And I'll tell you, I don't think I told you this story. Maybe I did, but I went on my honeymoon to Italy, and I went from I went to Milan, and then I went to Napoli. And the way I got into the sport,
did you go to the San Siro?
I didn't go to San Siro.
And then you're like, Helene, come on, babe, I have a romantic day planned. Honestly, me, I'd be just like, soccer. Ah!
But I so the way I got into soccer was because my brother used to travel all over the world and used to get me a kit from every city that he used to go to. So he got me one from Milan. So I was going to Milan, and I'm like, I'm gonna rock my Milan kit, my AC Milan kit. Nobody was confused about it. I don't know why I corrected it.
It's okay. You can go. You want to go for the full name.
Exactly.
It's all in.
So, but I was taking the train from Milan to Napoli that morning, and I was wearing my Milan kit. So I was just like, ooh, whatever. I was super tired. I'm like, let me just.
Clearly. I mean, who does that on purpose? You're early. Like, man dies on honeymoon. Train ride to southern Italy.
So I didn't think much of it because I fell asleep on the train ride. It was like a 4-hour ride. And I get out. As soon as I step off the train in Napoli, I'm like, I don't know if I should be wearing this shirt. I don't know if they're like chill about all
you
this stuff.
You should have changed at least 4 train stops before you hit Napoli. Like,
and it was a huge mistake because as soon as I stepped out of the train station, they were like, why are you wearing that? Like literally random people. And then the cab drivers, who are all Napoli ultras conveniently. And
because everybody is.
Right.
There's nobody there that is not going to be a ride or die.
Right. They had as soon as they saw me with the shirt, they start showing me all their tattoos and pictures of Maradona on their body
and the murals and hanging in the streets.
Yeah, and none of the
soon to be on the inside of your eyelids.
None of the cab drivers wanted to give me a ride. Like 100%. I'm not even exaggerating. They were like, "No, we don't. You look what you're wearing. They don't want."
I think. As an experience, especially speaking to Americans, the way that we have rivalries, MLS, NWSL, otherwise, within like nationally, domestic leagues, are absolutely nothing compared to what you'll experience. I'll speak specifically to Serie A, which is just, it's phenomenal. But when I say that calcio is religion, I mean it. It 100%. People, not that this should be a thing, but like people will die for their club.
Right.
And it is just part of everyday normal life. It's not a joking matter. It's your whole entire day is ruined. Sometimes your entire day is made.
Right.
But they are very, very serious, especially Napoli.
I love it. Nick Rad just said, seriously, how in the world did Christian make it home from Italy?
Honestly, I'm not sure either. I'm thinking he had to have paid someone for passage. Well, like there was somebody low key that accepted money that were like, I feel bad for this poor man.
The guy who ended up giving the cab driver who ended up giving us a ride was, I mean, like begrudgingly, you know, like, fine, I'll do it. And like, he told me to make sure you burn that shirt.
I'm surprised he didn't make you burn it outside of the
said,
taxi.
Thank God you weren't wearing a Juve kit.
Uh-huh. It's worse.
Yeah, who said that would have been much worse. It was a look, I learned my lesson very quickly, okay? And
you live to tell the tale, which is more important, right?
Okay. So I'm glad they spared me. But I want to talk about Napoli in just the fact that they've been so dominant this season. They're 15 points above second place, which is Inter. And not necessarily how have they done it, but why has it? We're used to seeing Juve have this gap, but obviously, you know, they're
Juve
dealing,
have experienced a number of things on and off field that have impacted their right. performance.
But what specifically, you know, maybe the easy answer is just Victor Osimhen. But what is it? How have Napoli
it
been this dominant?
It isn't just Osimhen. He's a phenomenal player. He really is. I love him so much. I keep saying, like, I want to interview Osimhen. Like, that's officially mentally a sure. goal. But it actually is just that they have this conflation of players that the depth is there, even if it's not a one-to-one replacement. So even as they've experienced injuries and otherwise during this season, they haven't been impacted in the ways that, say, Inter have right. or Roma have, or, you know, Lazio, Milan especially. Milan didn't quite make the moves they needed to in the transfer window to kind of fortify their bench. And you've seen it, you know, like you're still relying heavily on, you know, Giroud, who by all means has some of the most beautiful aerial goals and perfect hair in the league. But, you know,
it's not enough sometimes, you know?
No, it's not, right?
It's
so
a shame.
But like they're but especially for Milan, like their big hit was like not having Mike Maignan for
right,
a chunk
right.
of time. And he's such a significant role in that squad. Sometimes it's your keeper, sometimes it's not, but it absolutely is for them. Napoli just managed to do some like ridiculously good scouting. They let go Koulibaly, which I was deeply upset about in the beginning
yeah,
of the season.
Chelsea,
I had already counted them out early, which is kind of comical now in hindsight, because who did they go and they picked up? They pick up Kim Min-jae, who is phenomenal.
Beast.
They pick up Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia, who is so good, and I'm so hyped over
so
this man.
Just nailed the name. Love it.
Yeah, I'm going to be learning Georgian any day now. No, but when I say, like, he is, like, one of those once-in-a-lifetime players that you see pop up, that the scouting was so good, and Napoli pulling the trigger on him is, by far, I'd say, in the last year, maybe 2 years, the best scouting move of any side. And that's, you know, including big-name players like Vlahovic, that, you know, Chiesa, even outside of Serie A,
yeah, yeah.
where, you know, you've had to do battle with some of the Premier League teams. But I never imagined that this Napoli side from jump, and like ADL is a staunch businessman. He's very smart. But with that comes sometimes this bizarre detraction from the emotionality that you expect to see from Napoli, right? Like we are a passionate people, you know, like all in Italians. But when you look at it and you're like, wait, how do you strip the emotion out enough to ask somebody like a Koulibaly if they're willing to take a pay cut in the beginning of the season and then end up offloading them, which he agreed to.
Right.
Who in their right mind that knows they're at the top of their game is like, sure, I'll do that. But that is the magic that is Napoli. So I think that all of that coming together has just created this beautiful, just it's art. It's not even just, you know,
yeah.
it's art, it's music, it's theater. Napoli have it this season.
Well, and I go to Napoli and then they end up winning.
It was
Serie A.
Yeah. I would like to retract my prior statement. Christian Polanco showed up in Napoli and boom, the magic happened.
Bellboys.
Did you meet with ADL? Is that what happened? You said
he met
yeah.
with Spalletti. He was like, here's what you got to do.
As I'm wearing with my Milan kit.
Right. Just letting him know. Showing up to the Maradona.
Luciano,
I have some
please.
Notes. I got some notes.
Delboy Zero asked, he meant Kubo. He put Chubo, which is fun.
Perché?
Fun name. I said, can Osimhen hack it in the Premier League? Athletic players stand out more in Italy than highly athletic England. I mean, before you answer, I think this general question of how players can do in the Premier League. I mean, we saw Lukaku had one of the greatest years as a professional in Italy, and then goes, you know, back to England, and then it's just a tale. It's just like Jekyll and Hyde. None of it really makes sense. I don't know. Look, the Premier League, just like you mentioned, will just poach players. I mean, we've had these conversations. There's just so much money, and players are you know, not really going to turn down an opportunity to make some of the most money.
I would
they can
say,
in their
yeah,
careers.
It depends on the player for sure. But knowing that as a player, you do not know the length of your career, right? Like it could end tomorrow. In just, you know, the fetal position in tears because you've had a career-ending injury And I will never, ever hold it against any player that's like, I'm securing the bag in this moment.
Right.
Because, you know, like you have a livelihood to, you know, support going forward. You may not have the stability of a career. A lot of them, this has been their entire life from academy as a child, right? You haven't exactly had the time to cultivate another skill or like pick up a college degree.
What do you mean you don't know how to code? We all know how to code.
I learned in my basement, actually. You know, like my brief stint learning to code was probably like MySpace. And then I gave up. So you don't want to hire me for that.
I do want to push back on just that question because we get this a lot. Like, oh, can do you think they can do it in the Premier League? As if that is the defining thing.
Let me just first and foremost, and this is not in any way showing my bias. I think if anything, compared to some of my contemporaries, I'm able to be more objective and strip out some of the emotional aspects of, you know, talking about a league that I grew up as a fan loving. But I think that the Premier League as a benchmark for all of the leagues is just, it's largely silly, right? Because like a standout player is going to stand out irrespective of however things play out. Not to mention, not every league is for every player. And that goes across the board, right? Like, and I love, and I know you used Lukaku as an example. I adore Lukaku. He is a super talented striker. He's had myriad, you know, sort of, I guess, judgments and otherwise that come with him in his playing capacity where they're like, oh, you know, the majority of his goals, like he needs to be served and it's like toe pokes and otherwise in and around the box. Guess what?
I'll take
sometimes
it.
Like I'm sorry, but like you're a striker, but like that's your job is like to score the goals irrespective. They're not always going to be beautiful. But I just think that like, you know, his stint at Chelsea, his stint was at United where he got like abused
and that,
you know, it's not always just your on-field vibe, presence, squad gelling, and otherwise sometimes it's a lot of other factors off field.
Yeah. I want to bring this up because this is relevant, especially to this conversation. Luka Jovic, the Croatian player that went to Real Madrid from Eintracht Frankfurt, I believe.
Yeah.
And Fabrizio Romano just tweeted this earlier today.
I love him.
He said, quoting Luka, he said, my experience at Real Madrid went wrong from the beginning. I left Eintracht too early. All the spotlights were on me. I was only 21. It was difficult to adapt. Injuries, COVID, and unfair pressure. It was an unhappy experience. And he told that to Republica. And that's a factor as well. Like the
it's
Premier
super
League,
honest, though.
The Premier League, yes, it is challenging. It is very, very competitive. But it is also some of the most attention you're ever going to get in your life, the most criticism. And that's part of it as well. Like the reason you get paid so much more money is to also have to deal with that constant pressure and criticism.
I mean, the reality of it is every single player that comes up and signs a massive contract like that, you're going to see, especially if they haven't really been tried and tested, whether or not, you know, their prior performances, it was going to be like a big fish, small pond situation or vice versa. And, you know, like the players that don't get crushed under the pressure of the larger leagues, yeah, they do turn into diamonds and you have to have the right, you know, essentially like training staff and otherwise around them to just sort of mitigate some of the other lifestyle things. Like we've heard players from the Premier League talk about like, yeah, like I didn't mind the playing and whatever, but I was miserable being in England.
Right.
Right. Like, so the lifestyle.
I think just regular England, English people, if I was anything.
I live in Burnley. Mean, what I the heck like is going
they,
on here?
They like stick around. Or, like, I mean, I like London as a city, but I can't spend long stretches of time because I am a very sophisticated houseplant and I require sunlight and just vibes.
The way I sort of see it, especially with the strength and popularity of the Premier League, is that, you know, for some of these players, sometimes it's a little bit like, I'm going to, you know, that's why you go to college in Idaho or you go to, it's just like, you got to get away from some of the busyness of some of these big cities.
Not me personally, but you know, you do Idaho.
You use it to like, you grow in a different environment than what you're used
exposure to. Is good. Okay. Like always go exploring is definitely my bit of life advice.
Yeah. And like, I think the, you know, we were having the conversation when we were talking about this was on the Champions League on CBS when they were talking about Premier League
should Premier League help support financially some of the other European right. leagues? And it's like there, which I don't think should be the case, but there is something to be said about the we don't need one best league. You know what I mean? Like the sport right. is so different than we could right. because like the NFL, there's no other NFL right. that we. Oh, I mean, XFL is trying to catch up.
But. I mean, but like how many iterations of that have tried right. and floundered and then folded and then come back?
It's just, but this is that
right. It doesn't mean that it can exist. It just means that it's going to be a lot more challenging for that to be fertile ground to plant something like that.
Well, that's why it's like the world's game, and this is right. why it makes it more.
So I think
unique.
The problem is just speaking to that. Notion, because I think it's important to acknowledge that at its base level, right, football is it was meant for the masses, right?
Right, right.
It costs really nothing. It's one of the most translatable games that we've all been able to pick up. Now, with the introduction of capitalism, we're also talking about the business of football, and the business of football in a lot of ways has eclipsed the actual beautiful thing right. that is football. We're never going to be able to peel that back.
No,
that's like it's a given. Like yeah. you forge forward, there's no retreat. This is the reality that we have now within this game. And so I think that anyone that truly is passionate about it and understands it and can foster it and otherwise, and we have this conversation more in depth, especially in domestic soccer. I'm even talking like children's leagues and things like that, where like I've actually volunteered to coach before U8s. God bless those children. But it's something that we need to keep focusing on. But when you look at, say, like Premier League and La Liga and Bundesliga and Serie A, right, they're all different, cut of the same cloth, right? It just is different stages of investment and different pushes toward like that marketing window at different stages, right? So like everything is a little bit, and when you think about the relaunch of the Premier League, right, in more modern sense, it puts MLS and Premier League as peers, right? They're contemporaries. And so when you see how they've diverged down that path, just from a business perspective.
Right, right.
And now MLS, obviously.
Some people might be like, the quality, nobody's saying the quality is the same.
but it's that, in that sort of fostering an environment where you have an audience and people are interested, but also quality football, it's going to be at different stages. And because Premier League has seen more investment more broadly, faster, they also dumped a lot of cash into marketing. They also went far out. I mean, even their fan engagement, Premier League in USA, going back, I had done some stuff with them. Like, I don't even know. It must have been like 7 to 10 years ago now. Just to put things into perspective of like what they were looking in terms of
they like laid the
target
seeds.
Audience. Yeah. They were very wise in what they did. Yeah. So some of the leagues, are only now catching up.
Sean 613 said, Kupo is too smart for this show.
I'm so sorry. Wait, do you have beers for me? Where are those cores at? But yeah, like I'm happy to talk about this more boring side of stuff.
No, but
unfortunately, and what I will say to you is I agree. I don't think that a league like the Premier League should have to sacrifice for what they've essentially achieved.
I agree.
I think that the nature of things needs to change. With that being said, though, too, things that are emerging, like this notion of the Super League that has come out in various iterations, I'm extremely against.
Yeah.
Why? Because I think we should fix the actual problems at hand instead of creating a derivative league that will inevitably evolve into what we have as a problem already that people are having qualms about.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just kind of like this cycle that we're never really like going to get out of.
Wow, Kupo with the Harvard Business Review case. Yes, I'm overeducated.
No, the one thing. Look, I would say like the on a business level, like the bigger picture is always to grow the game. Right. That is what FIFA exists for. And like Johan Cruyff used to always say that every country's domestic league should be strong so that they can therefore compete in international tournaments and World Cups, and then therefore more people watch those international right. tournaments and grow the
more
game.
More exposure, smaller FAs. Yes.
So it's starting to feel like we're moving away from that and essentially saying like, let's just get the best players in the world, put them in one league that we can watch every week, no matter what country they're sort of coming from. And the there's people will lose in that instance, but that's where you sort of sense like the greed from maybe certain leagues or FIFA or maybe UEFA. That they can't all agree on what's the best strategy that they're all kind of, and they're kind of looking out for themselves. And that's, money's at
nobody's going to hand you cash out of their own pocket, right? Okay. Now everybody said I'm too smart, so I have to do something because I haven't reached this upper echelon, but like shouts to Witty because... For all of you being like, she's so smart, like that, I'm like, I'm striving to hit that level where I'm like, oh, yeah.
We got
to
get back. I wish that it was a fart button. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm less fart joke, more like, he hit him in the penis.
Hit him in the penis joke is more your steez, which is all good. And we support it on the Cooligans.
We'd have been promoted to Blangle and Minister of Education. Listen, we're going to learn and we're going to scrap.
We're
okay?
still filling out the cabinet. You can have both positions. Don't worry.
Okay. Look at my range.
Okay, I do want to talk about this other a specific game in Serie A. Juve played against. Hey, Omar Ramirez, thank you for the super chat. So we got to read his question before I get to the next topic. It says Omar says, should MLS sign more young European players to mimic their playing style to get more views from Europe? I'll give my answer first. This is not the right strategy. Just to mimicking another league is not going to win over Europeans. I don't think it's really even going to win over many Americans. People have a lot of bias over. Doesn't matter how good MLS is. People are just going to be like, MLS quality is terrible. They could
listen. The reality of it is, no matter what or where you stand geographically, there's going to be a league that somebody is shouting from the rooftops. That's a farmers league, okay? Like Ligue 1 like gets it all the time. So why not MLS? Let's get the full treatment.
Okay, we'll be farmers. Who cares? Idaho FC. Let's do it. So bringing in players is not the the sole strategy to get more interest. It's all foundational. I think, everything MLS has done with MLS Next and all the academies and just getting homegrown players that, I think a good moment in Major League Soccer was when Ricky Puig signed for LA Galaxy and he said, I can't believe that LA Galaxy contacted me. Ricky Puig is like 18, 19. Yeah. So he grew up with LA Galaxy being like a kind of a global brand. And that is a good sign for the future of the league.
Yeah, I feel like that's not really, it's not a cut and dry answer there. But what I will say is, as somebody who's old enough to remember, MLS very much started for a long time, admittedly, outwardly and openly, a buying league. They weren't a selling league. And we've made that shift. And I feel like that particular shift, especially with the success of like the Philadelphia Union Academies, FC Dallas, some of the OGs, right? That have truly Dallas cultivated Burn. Talent. That's been more beneficial for MLS in terms of PR and otherwise outwardly. I think that now the players that they do get when they do really good scouting, of course people are showing up for that, but more or less it's like that mix of like seasoned vet that we get that's like a big name player that everybody's been dying their entire lives that maybe you don't get to see them play in Europe, but you finally get to see them when they come to MLS. So I think it's a good mix.
Yeah. And I think another good sign is just competitively as a league when it comes to the transfer market, look at all the Brazilian players, look at all the Argentinian players that are leaving their leagues to go play in the U.S. That's a big sign. And that wasn't really the case.
Yeah,
15
I feel like that, too,
ago.
Is like I don't know if you've ever paid close attention to it, but as a total nerd, that the pockets of scouting tend to be like geographically consistent. So you get like this influx like Argentine players. And then all of a sudden,
from
like
the same
where do we get all of these guys from Peru? And it's just, the focus of the scouts happen to pivot. I mean, but things like that also yield players like Kvaratskhelia out of the Georgian league, which now has like entire movie theaters in his little town
Dude,
watching him play week.
There are scouts watching YouTube highlights and signing people, bro. It's like the game is just so much more accessible and global.
I was going to say people are focused on like European players coming in. There's been so much young talent from South America that's gotten into MLS recently. It's unbelievable.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, back to focus on the thing.
Serie A, I do want to talk about Juve played against Roma. They lost
the game. If I don't know what the score was. But this is a huge result for Roma because it puts them in the Champions League spot.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of things heating up between, you know, especially Roma, Atalanta, Inter, you got Milan Lazio. Even in the argument. Juve, if their appeal goes through, still could be jockeying like a second place slot. Right
yeah,
now, which is insane. I mean, the variables.
It's weird
chaotic.
To look at the table. I want to just bring that. It's weird to look at the table in Serie A and see Juventus with 15 wins and only 35 points.
Well, like when you look at Milan and Roma are technically tied for fourth on points, and that's 1 point off of Lazio right now.
Right.
So it's essentially we're getting these crazy. Even last season was wild because you kind of didn't know until like the very end that, you know, Milan were pulling this off, because that's another season and squad that people would argue still. And like, I've done a few of the Milan podcasts. I love those guys, but they overperformed. They literally just blew teams out of the water where you're like, no, this squad isn't even that great, like all in, but they were right. Sometimes it just works. It's a time and a place. And you have these like romantic Calcio stories.
Right. The I want to talk about this in particular because Moise Keane,
less romantic.
Moise Keane came into the game against Roma in the 89th minute. It was like something like 89:58 seconds or something like that, and he left the game in like something like 90 and like 35 seconds or something like that.
Just like a man, supposed to commit to like, 5 minutes, couldn't make it 40 seconds.
High and by.
Hate to see it.
But Moise Keane came into the game, got immediately red carded for kicking
Mancini.
Mancini, who
literally outwardly kicked him. Yeah, like said, referee, watch me.
The ref, the ref was so close, you would have thought he was another defender.
He could have held his hand and kicked him. It was just, it's so egregious.
Yeah. It really made no sense. That it looked like it felt a little bit like a way. If you watch this clip, it feels like, you know how in like in hockey you have an enforcer to like go in there and get a 5 minute major, right? And it looked like Moise Keane came into the game specifically to attack a person and then leave. You never even got to the point where resentment built up to like, oh, I've been getting fouled all game, let me retaliate.
No.
There was some pressure.
He said, I'm here.
He got some pressure. The guy, Mancini was like on him. Yes, he was like a bit aggressive, but there would have been a foul call. And there was a foul called, but the way Moise Keane responded was just by kicking out and kicking him right in the legs. And Moise Keane, he just looks down and is like, okay, I guess I'm out of here. And
I would honestly love to know what was going through his mind, because it was just one of those like short blip breaks that you have. I mean, I am guilty too. We were like, did I just do that or say that? You
Sean 613 called it a mafia hit. Bro, and then did you see? I'll probably try to find the photo. But Allegri's reaction. Did you see him? He gave him the what is this called? What do you call this? Because we're audio listeners.
Okay, so the problem is when you have like the pinched finger shake for the people who are listening.
right.
Is like a lot of other Italian words. It has multiple meanings, but in this implementation, it's very much a. Dai, what are you doing? Cosa stai facendo?
It was just a great photo. I can't find the photo.
It's just insane.
But it was just the image is of Moise Keane walking back.
You got two clips of him in a minute time, 40 seconds, kicking and then walking away.
It's just a sad Allegri. I'm not mad. I'm a disappointed Allegri, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just such an iconic and great
image.
Wait,
hold up. 1 second. I have to address this comment because it's actually not accurate. Serie A is what Bundesliga was the last couple of seasons, no title race. In the last few seasons, we've had absolutely explosive title races. Inter Milan won before AC Milan the season prior to that. Like, it's been a solid...
Juve dominated for a while.
Juve had dominated, but Juve have not been themselves in no fewer than five seasons. So it's actually probably one of the more explosive leagues because it goes down to the wire. Even last season did. It was pretty exciting. We didn't even know, you know, down to the Europa League slots and Champions League who was actually getting where the points were so close that like all season we were kind of rolling dice. We were like, no, it's Milan. No, it's Inter. No, it might be Juve. It's wild. This season, I think we're seeing Napoli for the first time stretch those points wide enough where there might be a little bit less of one, but I mean, they lose a couple matches that could shift dramatically very, very fast. Yeah. I think right now, even looking at the top of the table, it's so congested where you have those ties, you have 1 point off, you have even Atalanta that are in the discussion. You can't count out Bologna. And again, Juve could really throw a massive wrench in this table if they get their appeal.
What's the likelihood of that? I haven't really followed it after they got the points deduction.
So I would say right now it's 50-50. It depends on how good the appeal is, whether or not they're actually receptive to the evidence provided that, you know, this did or didn't deviate. Because a lot of the stuff that happened is it's coming down to player trades and whatnot. And, you know, that gets a little bit more dicey, right? Because not only is that off the books, the financial issues, which are criminal, it begs the question, like, did this actually impact the play on field? And that's where the point deduction came in.
Got it.
So if it gets overturned in part or entirely would put them in second right now, just as everything stands. Partially would still have them jockeyed up the table.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy if you're like a Lazio and suddenly you find yourself in like fifth or sixth.
It would be, I mean, it's already been of a shock.
We have everything. We have our own little telenovela.
This is the drama's incredible. I feel for, you know, I feel when all this stuff with Juve, when I was again on my honeymoon, I went to Amalfi Coast, and then I also went to Capri.
Land of my people.
It was beautiful. It looks better than in the pictures. That's how incredible Amalfi Coast is. And Capri was...
Usually, my rule of thumb is if it looks outstanding in pictures, it usually is like 15 times better than that in real life.
Sure.
Because unless you're, you know, like throwing 43 filters on something. And then like, yes, absolutely. Like Facetune that sunset, baby.
My wife and I, we rented, we did like a boat tour thing around Capri, which was great. But the skipper was this Italian guy, but he spoke English really, really well. And he was like, oh, I married an American woman and I have kids. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, it just made everything a lot simpler. And he had a Juve tattoo. And I'm like, oh, this is... I'm like, oh, you're a big Juve... Like, I'm like, oh, big Juve fan. And then I thought he was going to be like, yeah, I'm a big fan. He's like, no, Juve is literally my life. Like, Juve is... I told my wife when we got married that it doesn't matter what's happening. It could be a wedding. It could be a funeral. It could be a children being born. I have to watch Juve.
Bianconeri. Fino alla fine, for real.
So it was interesting because, so then Helene is talking to him as well. I'm like, oh, this is like, oh, you know, Christian is also obsessed with soccer and all this other stuff. And I ask him like, oh, like, how do you do it? How do you balance this obsession that you have? And also,
how do we balance this obsession that we have, Christian?
But then I'm like, how do you balance, you know, your obsession with Juve and also, you know, with your wife and family? He's like, oh no, we got divorced. I'm like, oh, so you can't. It's not
I'm
possible.
I'm like, listen, you can hit the Juve store. I'm pretty sure they have Juve lingerie. Bro. Keep things spicy. Although that won't work out if like your spouse is like an Inter fan, which I don't know. That's very star-crossed, Romeo Juliet. No,
So all right. Anything else before we wrap up? Please put it in the chat. Everybody, make sure you go follow Christine Kupo. You, your What's your Twitter's different than your Instagram?
Yeah, I am sorry for the confusion. No, I like Kupo, to make things right? difficult. It's C Kupo, yeah. And then Instagram is just Miss Kupo.
Yeah, so go give her a follow on Twitter and Instagram, and you can and catch you a cappuccino and the Serie A podcast. You can also check out as well. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans wherever. You have social media because I'm sure we are there. What is it? Ben Skolnick just said, Christian just hit his quota of how many times his wife said he needs to bring her up today so he can avoid sleeping on the couch tonight. Yes, she tunes in. She has a Helena meter to make sure I'm mentioning her.
She actually just asked me. She's like, make sure that Christian
there's a running tally. You see him just like...
Look, I have plenty more stories from Italy. So, I mean, it's very relevant for today.
I'm here
show.
For Italian stories.
Okay. So, yeah. Anything else before we wrap up? I think I got everything right, Mike. We will be back tomorrow. I did mention Alexis will not be here this week, but he will be back next week. We have another special guest host tomorrow that's going to be a surprise.
Dun, dun, dun.
So...
make sure you comment tomorrow that I was cooler. I don't care who shows up.
Okay. Do that, and I'm sure it will hurt the feelings. Just like we said, Christine is here to hurt feelings. And make sure you hurt our next co-host's feelings in the chat.
Just like get it out early so that they can refocus, you know, at least by halfway through the episode.
But this has been awesome as always. Christine Kupo, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Christine.
We will be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube, and the podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
And subscribe and download the podcast as well. We love the downloads.
There we go. That's
subscribe, download, drink Coors.
All of it. Just okay. All of it.
We're going to clip that, and that's going to be the intro for the show. That's how we it's going to be the commercial. All right, y'all, the absolute best. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody here in the chat, and everyone listening. We will see you tomorrow. Peace, everybody.